Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God is a God of surprises. He's a God who comes to us sometimes when we least expect it. He sometimes gives us more than we bargained for. Think about the words we heard just a little bit ago from the gospel reading. God sent his messenger, his angel, Gabriel, to a common little town, some might even say a backwater town called Nazareth, to announce to a common young woman some very uncommonly good news. The wonderful, amazing news that she was going to be pregnant with the Son of the Most High God himself. Surprise, Mary! What her people, God's chosen people of Israel, had been waiting for thousands of years, ever since God made the first promise to send a Savior in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve just shortly after they had committed the first sin. A promise that God's people had been waiting for and longing for was now going to be coming true through her. She would become the mother of the Savior, the Son of God himself. Surprise, Mary! The words of the angel. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Surprise! In the sermon text today that we just heard from 2 Samuel chapter 7, we saw God give a surprising message to the king that he had appointed, King David. In the chapter just before this reading, David had made arrangements to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized God's presence with his people, to Jerusalem, the city that he had conquered and had made his capital. And he had made a grand procession out of it, accompanied by festive singing and dancing and with many sacrifices of animals as burnt offerings to God. So important because the ark symbolized God's gracious presence with his people, the way that he had blessed them and rescued them ever since he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, all through the years of wandering in the wilderness, till he brought them into the promised land of Canaan, and then continued to be with them and rescue them from so many enemies around them that had troubled them. The God who had made his covenant with him, promised that he would be their God and they would be his people. David was the kind of man who appreciated deeply everything that God had done for him. In fact, God called David a man after God's own heart. And God reminds David of some of the ways that God had richly blessed him throughout his life in those verses that we just read, about how God had plucked David from relative obscurity, being the youngest of eight sons of his father Jesse, the one who, when the prophet Samuel came to visit, the seven older ones were brought to be introduced to Samuel, but David, the youngest, was considered the least important, and so he was left out in the field taking care of the sheep. But God brought him from that relatively lowly position to be the shepherd, the king of all of God's people of Israel, the successor to the first king of Israel, King Saul. And then right down to the time in our reading today, when God is speaking through his prophet to King David after God had established David's rule over many years of being opposed by King Saul and Saul's armies, being threatened and almost killed on multiple occasions by Saul, God allowed David also to fight against and defeat the enemy nations that were surrounding the people of Israel, and then to establish peace for God's chosen people of Israel. All through the years of Israel's history, from the time that God rescued them from slavery in Egypt and for the next several hundred years, God was there blessing his people, but there was no permanent place of worship for God's people, no permanent house for God's ark that symboled his presence with his people and his blessing for his people to be kept and to be honored and worshiped as a symbol of the worship of the true God. Up until this time, for the most part, the Israelites had been a wandering people, and the ark had always been sheltered in a tent, or sometimes called a tabernacle. But now that by God's grace, God had established peace for the people through David, David wanted to build a suitable house of worship for God. At the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 7, we read that the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. And so there David was. He had built a fine home, a palace or mansion for himself made of costly cedar wood. He's sitting there in rest and didn't feel it was quite right that he should be living in a fine house where when God's ark was still not even in the tabernacle, but was in the home of another Israelite where it had stayed put after being rescued from the Philistines who had captured it in battle decades beforehand. And so David told his friend, God's prophet Nathan, that he wanted to build a house of worship for God. He wanted something like what he himself had built in elegance and splendor for his own residence to be even more elegant and magnificent for God's ark and for the worship of the true God. Be a permanent dwelling, permanent representation of God's presence among his people. And when David at first mentioned his plan to do that to the prophet Nathan, Nathan right away encouraged David to do it. He said, yes, that's a great idea. Go ahead and do it. But then, surprise, that very night, God spoke through the prophet Nathan, and he gave him a message to convey to King David. And in essence, God told David, you are not going to build a house for me. Now, it's fine that you want to. That's truly a good desire. But in fact, you have it turned around. I'm going to build a house for you. Not a physical house, not a building with walls and rooms and doors and windows, a kingdom that will last forever. Your royal line will be special, David. It will last forever. It's from your family, from your descendants, that the Messiah, the Savior, will be born. Surprise, David. It was a surprise to David. It was something totally unexpected. David had wanted to do something for God, something to show his thanks and love to God and to lead the people in worship to God. But God said no. Instead, God said, surprise. He wasn't done with David yet. He wasn't done with his blessings to David and David's family. He would do for David something far greater than David could ever have imagined. In our closing hymn today, we'll sing a line that refers to this promised Savior as great David's greater son. He is David's greater son because he would bring a blessing to all people of the whole world. He would be the Savior of all mankind forever. God is telling David that he would be the ancestor of the Messiah. That would be the house that God would build through David. It would be an everlasting kingdom. And that's the thing that God reminded Mary of in our gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 1. When God's angel, God's messenger, surprised Mary with that announcement that she would be the mother of a child, a son called Jesus. Gabriel told Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The birth of the Savior, which we look forward to celebrating very soon at our Christmas celebrations, is the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to David some 1,000 years before that event of the birth of Jesus that we heard in our first lesson from 2 Samuel 7. Surprise! God works in mysterious and marvelous ways. But yet it really is no surprise that God keeps his promises. The biggest surprise of all came way back in the Garden of Eden, when God looked down on our first ancestors who had just sinned, and the devil who had egged them on, and surprise, instead of punishment, instead of immediately carrying out the punishment that he had threatened, that when they ate of the fruit that God commanded them not to eat from, they would surely die. Instead of immediately carrying out that punishment, God promised the coming of one special offspring or seed of the woman who would crush the devil's head. That promise, that first promise of the Savior, came true in Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead on the third day, he crushed the devil's head by breaking the devil's power over us, of keeping us enslaved to sin and trapped by our guilt and bound for eternal death in hell. Instead, God set us free, free to live for him now in peace and restored harmony with him, with the hope of his promise of a perfect eternal future with him in heaven. It's no surprise that God turns us around and does things for us that are far above our wildest imaginings, far above what we could ever hope for or pray for. God, in his mercy and grace, has done marvelous and exciting things for us. Not only did God promise and then send his Son to be the Savior of the world, but through his word and through his sacraments, his Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts to believe that Jesus is our Savior. And now, we not only acknowledge with our minds God's grace to us through Jesus, but also in our inmost selves, in the depths of our hearts, we accept by faith this gift of his forgiveness and salvation. We believe that Jesus is our personal Savior, and we believe that all of the promises that he has made to us through Jesus are true for us. We discover the truth of God's promise that he has come to give us life. Not just an average, ordinary, mundane life, but abundant life. True spiritual life. And all the spiritual blessings and the fruit of the Spirit that comes along with it. Freedom from guilt, from shame. Because all of our sins have been fully forgiven by Jesus our Savior. And it's not only in those spiritual areas of life that God does amazing things for us and gives us surprise after surprise, but it's also in the physical world of our lives, this world that we live in, the places where we cry and hurt and sweat and toil and grieve. There, God has surprises for us too. There was that burden that we had to carry, that extra responsibility that we thought we didn't really need and we just couldn't really bear at that time. There was that sudden illness, that continuing problem, that falling apart relationship. And we thought there was no way out. But we turned it over to God, just as he asked us to do, just as he invited us to do. And then one day, God said yes to our prayers. And he lifted that burden, and he took it away from us completely. And then a new spring came into our step, and we praised his name continually for his blessing and his grace to us. We asked, and we received. We sought, and we found. We knocked, and the door was opened to us. We are still saying our thank yous to God for those blessings that he has poured out to us in our lives. And then there were those other times that God surprised us too. Times when the burden was not lifted as we asked. Times when that extra responsibility that we thought we couldn't bear continued. Times when the problem did not go away. Times when the relationship continued to deteriorate. We gasped and struggled and prayed some more. Surprise! God said yes to our prayer, but He answered it in a different way than we had asked for, by supplying us with the strength that we need to bear up under the burden of whatever that problem was. We cast our burden on the Lord, and He sustains us. Here we are this morning, perhaps carrying some of those same burdens, with new strength in our shoulders by the grace that God provides us, with the assurance that He will never leave us or forsake us as He walks with us through this veil of tears until He brings us to His side in heaven. This week when we celebrate Christmas, there are bound to be some surprises for us. Perhaps it'll be things that we receive that we didn't expect to receive, or perhaps things that we did not receive that we expected or hoped to receive. But one surprise is always new: the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus, with His continuing forgiveness, love, life, peace, and joy. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift.